إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no part in His associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This afternoon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session from the Medina Book 1. And today, inshallah, as we mentioned in our homework assignment, we're going to be reviewing what you should have done for homework from Lesson 2 and the beginning of Lesson 3. First, before we start, let me just take a moment to remind us of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His favor upon us in allowing us to reach this blessed month of Ramadan, which is a special season for the believers, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with the beginning of the revelation of the Quran, and by making obligatory upon us that which is in our interest, which Yani helps the believer to get near to Allah, that is the obligation of fasting. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in an advice that he gave, and I'll summarize it, many years ago, he said that it is legislated for the Muslims in this Yani noble, blessed month of Ramadan to strive hard, to make every effort to engage themselves in various types of worship, including praying the extra voluntary prayers, the sunnah prayers with the congregational prayers, as well as the night prayer, Taraweeh, to recite the Quran. But not just trying to get through the recitation of one juz per day, but rather, more importantly, to recite it with reflection, with contemplation upon what we are reading. Also to increase in the glorification of Allah, yani by saying Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, and seeking forgiveness of Allah, astaghfirullah, and salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also said that in this month we should pay attention to and concentrate upon the legislated supplications, the ad'iyah, du'a, that have been legislated, whether from the Quran or in the authentic sunnah, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, da'wah, inviting to the way of Allah, being generous to the poor and the needy, paying attention to the poor and the needy, being kind and dutiful to our parents, keeping the ties of relations with our family, honoring our neighbors, visiting the sick, and all other types of good deeds. Yani, this is yani a summary of the advice that Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah gave many, many years ago. And the second point that I want to mention just briefly is just a quick reminder of some of the sunnah practices related to the fast of Ramadan. These are things that most of us are already familiar with, so it would just serve as a reminder. But please take these matters seriously. The sunnah, yani, is Islam, and Islam is the sunnah, and there is no Islam without the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us or shown us in his practice that these very, very important practices that should be observed in the month of Ramadan: eating the pre-dawn meal, as-suhoor, delaying the suhoor meal until just before the break of dawn, and praying it as close as possible to dawn, not stop eating half an hour, 15 minutes, an hour before dawn, but actually taking it just before the break of dawn, hastening to break the fast, iftar, when one is sure and certain that the sun has actually set. Don't delay. Breaking the fast with fresh dates before performing the prayer, or dried dates or water if fresh dates are not available. Breaking the fast before performing the prayer and then performing the prayer immediately after breaking the fast, not delaying it to eat a meal. Supplicating at the time of breaking the fast, as well as supplicating during the fast. Feeding a fasting person, especially a needy fasting person. Being eager to perform Salatul Qiyam, the night prayer of Ramadan, with Iman and Ihtisab. Standing in the night prayer with the Imam until he completes the prayer. Increasing in one's good deeds generally, and finally restraining the tongue from false speech and actions based upon that false speech. This is just a reminder to us. And this is indeed a blessed time, and it is incumbent upon us to take full advantage of it. Don't let this month get away without having gained some of its great virtues and benefits. Okay, so that being said, let's get into the lesson for today. Before we enter the lesson for today, I just want to remind us that in the previous lesson that we completed, lesson number one, there are a number of important things that we covered in that lesson. From amongst the most important of them is the ism ishara hadha. Hadha, meaning this or this is. Remember that hadha is a demonstrative pronoun, ism ishara, that's used to point to things which are masculine, singular, and near, qareeb. As opposed to what we're going to take today in lesson two, dhalika, which is also ism ishara. It's also used to point to things which are masculine and singular, but not near, which are far, ba'id. Okay? So this is the first thing that we had in lesson one, the ism ishara, hadha. The second thing that I want to bring to our attention as a reminder, and that was part of our homework assignment, for Monday, to review the English key and the Arabic text from lesson number one. And we should have also paid attention to the vocabulary. Now, the second thing in lesson one that I want to remind us of, very, very importantly, are the manners in which we ask questions. When we're asking about inanimate things, we use ma, as in ma hadha, what is this? When you're asking about a book or a tree or a car or something inanimate. When you're asking about people, we have men hadha, who is this? And when you're asking about something that you're not sure if you know what it is, but you think you do, you say ahadha, for example, ahadha baytun, is this a house? The answer to this type of question, use hamzatul istifham, the answer is going to be na'am wa la, yes or no. These are some of the most important things, and then of course the vocabulary that we had from lesson number one. I'm not going to go over the vocabulary, but what we're going to do is we're going to just take a brief oral quiz or oral examination, okay? So I'm going to give you some words in Arabic, and I want you to either write them down or at least translate them orally, hopefully if you're able to write them down, writing them down may take a little time, especially if you're not used to writing. And that's why I said write out the lessons, write out the exercises, write out the Arabic text, so that you get practice in writing and it becomes easy to write. In any case, if you don't have enough time to write out the translation of these Arabic words that I'm going to give you, at least translate them orally, okay? So I'm going to give just a few words from the vocabulary from last week, and I want you to translate them, either by writing or orally, translate them. Okay, the first word is baytun. The second word, babun. The third word, qalamun. The fourth word, maktabun. The fifth word, kursiyun. The sixth word, qamisun. The seventh word, waladun. The eighth word, rajulun. The ninth word, kalbun. The tenth word, himarun. The 11th word, jamalun. The 12th word, مدرسٌ. Okay, this is half of our vocabulary from last week. We had 24 words. These are 12 words. I hope that everybody knew most of these words. By now, we should have memorized all 24 of these words and perhaps started memorizing the only four vocabulary words from lesson 2, which we're going to take today. Okay, so the words that I gave you, baytun means a house, babun means a door, qalamun means a pen, maktabun means a desk or writing table, kursiyun means a chair, qamisun means a shirt, waladun means a boy, rajulun means a man, kalbun means a dog, himarun means a donkey, jamalun means a camel, mudarrisun means a teacher. So I hope we got most of these words right. It is extremely important that we pay attention to the vocabulary in every lesson, trying to memorize all of them, or at least most of them. As we go through yani one lesson after another, the vocabulary words can pile up on us if we don't yani attend to them lesson by lesson, day by day, week by week, at least every day memorizing at least one word, if not two. Okay, try to memorize all the vocabulary so that by the time we finish this book, and you have a good, a strong vocabulary base that will help you in your reading, in your writing, and in your understanding of the Arabic language. Okay, this is our quick review of lesson number 1. Today, as we mentioned in the beginning, we're going to take lesson number 2 completely, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and we're going to start lesson number 3. So if you had been following the proposed or suggested schedule for last week's homework assignments, then you should have looked at lesson number 2 yani on Tuesday. Lesson number 2, the English key and the vocabulary, and on Wednesday, reading the Arabic text and doing the one exercise that came with this lesson. If you had been following the schedule, then you would have already completed this lesson. And today, inshallah, as we go through it, if you had any questions, we'll try to clarify them. Okay. So, we're going to look at the English key as we normally do. First, the English key, and then the Arabic text at the beginning of the Arabic section of the book, and then whatever exercises come with that lesson. The English key includes whatever grammatical points are new for this lesson, and then it also includes the meanings of the vocabulary words which are new for this lesson. As I said, lesson number 2 is a very short lesson. It only has a few vocabulary words, 4 vocabulary words, and it only has one exercise. So hopefully, Kenny will be able to get through this lesson with relative ease, and then we're going to look at the next lesson, number 3, which is a longer lesson and has many vocabulary words and a few very, very fundamental, important points of grammar. Okay, so before we start lesson number 2, or not before we start, we are going to start lesson number 2 right now. We're going to start by reading the English key on page 3. It says at the top of the page, lesson 2, in this lesson, we learn the use of ذَلِكَ, ذَلِكَ, meaning that, that or that is. And we also have in this lesson, wa, yani the letter waw with a fatha, wa, which is a conjunction that means end, A-N-D, this and that. For example, هَذَا بَيْتٌ وَذَلِكَ مَسْجِدٌ. هَذَا بَيْتٌ, this is a house. وَذَلِكَ مَسْجِدٌ, and that is a masjid or mosque. Okay, so 2 things we want to note here. In this sentence, we have the use of 2 of the ism ishara, asma al-ishara. هَذَا and ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ is new for this lesson, and we want to distinguish between the use of these 2 demonstrative pronouns. Both of them are used for things which are singular, not pointing to 2 or 3 or more things, not used for dual or plural, only when you're pointing to one thing, singular, a singular noun. Both of them are used for singular. Both of them are used for masculine, not used when you're pointing to something that's feminine. They are both only used when you're pointing to something that's singular and it's masculine. Later on we will learn the demonstrative pronouns that are used for pointing to things which are singular and feminine. And after that we'll also learn the demonstrative pronouns that are used for things which are dual, pointing to two things, or things which are plural, pointing to three things. So hadha and dhalika, what they have in common is that both of them are demonstrative pronouns, asma al-ishara. And both of them are used for pointing to things which are masculine and singular. The difference between them is that hadha is used for pointing to things which are qareeb, near. And dhalika is used for pointing to things which are ba'id, far. Also, both of these ism ishara, both of them are used to point to things as well as people. Yani you can use hadha or dhalika to point to the aqil, yani a rajul, a mudarris, a talib, human beings, and you can also use it to point to that which is ghayru aqil, like a star, najmun, a house, baytun, hisan, a horse, yani. So both of them can be used to point to humans, and both of them can be used to point to inanimate things. Okay, once again, hadha and dhalika, what they have in common is that they both are used to point to things which are masculine, things which are singular, and they can both be used to point to that which is aqil, human, or ghayru aqil, yani inanimate. The difference between them is hadha is used to point to things which are qareeb, near, and dhalika is used to point to things which are far, ba'id. Okay, so again, back to the English key. In this lesson we learned the use of dhalika, meaning that, and wa, meaning and, A-N-D. For example, hadha baytun wa dhalika masjidun. This is a house and that is a mosque. Note, it says dhalika is pronounced as though there's an alif written after the letter tha, thal. Tha, fatha, alif. There's no alif written, but you have to pronounce it as though there's an alif written for elongation. Dhalika. The alif is not written, but it must be pronounced. Okay? It is pronounced long, but it's written without the alif that elongates the fatha. Second note, the word wa, yani the consonant wa with a fatha, is written close to the following word. Yani, it's not written as though it's a separate word, but rather it's written as though it is part of the word that follows it, close to it. Yani, of course, it's not going to be connected to the following word, because waw is one of the six letters that are non-connectors. Those six letters are what? Dal, thal, ra, zay, aleph, and waw. Alright, that's the end of what it says here in the English key, very, very brief, followed by the vocabulary. The first word on the right is sukkarun, with shadda on the calf. Sukkarun, sukkarun, which means sugar. And underneath it, labanun, labanun, two short vowels and tanween. Labanun, labanun means milk. Now this word laban is sometimes used with a different usage, but in any case, the meaning of it here is the same as what we commonly refer to as halib, yani cow's milk, or milk in general. Okay, so laban, it means milk. And halib, ha, lam, ya, ba, also means milk. In the next column, we have the third vocabulary word, imamun, imamun, which means the one who is in front, the prayer leader. The last vocabulary word is hajarun. Two short vowels followed by tanween. Ha-ja-run. Hajarun. Which means a stone. Which means a stone. Okay, so these are four words. If you don't know them already, if you didn't learn them during the week, please learn them, yani, before we finish this lesson today. Okay, we're going to see them in the lesson today. Inshallah, try to make, yani, make an effort to try to memorize them immediately. Four words. Sukkarun and labanun. Yani sugar and milk. Sukkarun wa labanun. Sugar and milk. Imamun
we already know this word. And hajarun, hajarun, a stone. Okay, one point I want to make before we go on, before we leave the English key, that the particle wa, yani wa with fatha, wa, it's called harf al-atf, or waw al-atf, ayn ta fa, atf. And this means that it is a particle that's used for joining something. It's a conjunction. It's a conjunction. So please make a note that there are also words that are conjunctions like fa and thumma. These are also conjunctions, yani huruf atf. However, they have a different meaning. Waw is used to just join two things without any consideration of the order or arrangement of those things. So you say this and that, or he went here and there, doesn't mean that he went here first and then there. Waw just means he did both of them. Whereas fa indicates tartib, yani the order of things. Like if you said he did this, fa, and then he did that, means he did this first and then that. And thumma also indicates tartib, yani, but not something following immediately, but after some time. He did this, thumma, and then he did that later on. Fa, he did this, and then immediately following it, he did that. In any case, fa and thumma we're going to take later on, but I just want you to know that all of these are conjunctions. They join two things together. Waw, the letter waw with fa, with fatha, the conjunction wa, it means A and D, this and that. It does not indicate the order of things. Rather, it just means this and that, two things that were done or two things that somebody has and so on. Okay. Okay, so that is what we wanted to cover for the English key for lesson number 2. Now let's go to the Arabic section of the book. On page 12. Page 12 and page 13. The Arabic section of the book. Okay, so also this was part of our homework, yani, that we should have read this Arabic text at least 2 or 3 times, pages 12 and 13 for lesson 2. And we should have also have written out this text on page 12 and 13, and we should have done the one exercise on page 13. So part of our homework was to try to do this reading of this lesson, the Arabic text on 12 and 13, and to follow it up with doing the exercise to read and to write, as well as memorizing the vocabulary, right? Alright, so let's read from page 12. At the top of the page, it says, الدرسو الثاني. الدرسو الثاني, meaning the second lesson. Remember, we had this expression coming in the first lesson. الدرسو الأولو. Al-awwalu. These are words that you have to learn. This is part of the lesson. Ad-darsu al-thani, the second lesson. We're going to see in the next lesson, ad-darsu al-thalithu, the third lesson. And these are the ordinal numbers. You have to learn them, please. Okay, under the title, ad-darsu al-thani, we have thalika. Thalika. Remember, it is pronounced with elongation as though there's an alif following the letter thal. Thalika. And remember, we said thalika is ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun. It's used to point to that which is masculine, singular, and far, ba'id. Let's read. Under thalika, we have question and answer. There's a picture to the side that refers to what we're reading here. It says, ma thalika, ma thalika, what is that? And he's pointing to something far. It's far away up in the sky, a star. ذَلِكَ نَجْمٌ. ذَلِكَ نَجْمٌ. Okay, this word نَجْمٌ is not in our vocabulary for lesson 2. So that means what? That we had it previously in a previous lesson. Well, there was only lesson before. Only one lesson we have taken so far is lesson 1. So this word نَجْمٌ comes from lesson 1. Okay, this is not a new word. This is a word that we had before. مَا ذَلِكَ? What is that? ذَلِكَ نَجْمٌ. That is a star. The second picture, we have two pictures there. We have a picture of a masjid and a picture of a house. The masjid is closer and the house is further. Okay, so the ism ishara we're going to use for the thing that is near is هَذَا. And the ism ishara that we're going to use for the thing that is far is ذَلِكَ. Okay, so across from this picture, going down, we see هَذَا مَسْجِدٌ. هَذَا مَسْجِدٌ. Meaning, and I'm going to try to pause as I'm reading for you to read and for you to translate. Okay, so please, yani participate. هَذَا مَسْجِدٌ. Meaning, this is a mosque. وَذَلِكَ بَيْتٌ. وَذَلِكَ بَيْتٌ. And that, the one that's further away, is a bait, is a house. Okay, so this is a sentence composed of two statements joined together by the conjunction, the waw with fatha, wa. هَذَا مَسْجِدٌ. This is a masjid. وَذَلِكَ بَيْتٌ. And that is a house. And that is a house. Okay. Both of these words, masjid and house, we had before. So these are also not new words. Okay, let's go down. We see the next set of pictures is a horse rearing up and a donkey. The horse is nearer and the donkey is further. So we're going to use the ism ishara for that which is near for the horse, and the ism ishara for that which is far for the donkey. Okay, so let's read. هَذَا حِصَانٌ. وَذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ. Again, هَذَا حِصَانٌ, with ha and sad. حِصَانٌ. وَذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ, with the letter ha again. حِمَارٌ. Meaning, هَذَا حِصَانٌ means this is a horse. وَذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ means and that is a donkey. Notice that in between the two statements, هَذَا حِمَارٌ and ذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ, هَذَا حِصَانٌ وَذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ, between these two statements we have a conjunction, waw al-atf. Waw al-atf, which just joins two things together without any consideration of the order. Okay, again, حِصَان and حِمَار are from the words we had from lesson one. These are not new words. Next line, we have down a little bit further a picture of a small animal. And there's a question using Hamzata, Hamzatu al-Istifham. The Hamza that's used for asking a question. Hamza with Fatha. أَذَلِكَ كَلْبٌ. Again, أَذَلِكَ كَلْبٌ. Meaning, is that a dog? The answer, the jawab, la. ذَلِكَ قِطٌ. La. ذَلِكَ قِطٌ. Is that a dog? La means what? Remember we said that questions that use Hamzat al-Istifham, the answer is always going to be na'am or la. Yes or no. Is that a dog? The answer, la, no. ذَلِكَ قِطٌ. That is a cat. Okay, remember these words we had from lesson one. قَلْبٌ and قِطٌ. Remember the letter قِط, I mean the word قِطٌ is written with قَاف with كَسْرَة and طَا with شَدَّة. Two طَا. طَا has شَدَّة. قِطٌ. قِطٌ. Let's go down to the last picture on page 12. Again, a question and answer. مَا ذَلِكَ. مَا ذَلِكَ. What is that thing which is far away? Answer. ذَلِكَ سَرِيرٌ. ذَلِكَ سَرِيرٌ. That is a sarir. What is a sarir? A bed. Short vowel, long vowel, tanween. سَرِيرٌ. ذَلِكَ سَرِيرٌ. That is a bed. Okay, let's turn to page 13. At the top of the page, we see a picture of what, or two pictures. One is represents a classroom with students and a teacher writing on the board, and the second one, apparently, a musalla or a masjid with people lined up in ranks for prayer and somebody standing in front of them. Okay, here in this reading here, we're gonna find a new word. A new word, right? The word imamun. That's a new word from this lesson too. The rest of the words in this reading here, the first two pictures, the rest of the words we had from lesson one. Okay? So remember in lesson one we had ma and we had men. We said ma is used to ask about things and men is used to ask about people. Aqil and ghayr aqil. Okay, so the first question, man hadha wa man dhalika. Man hadha wa man dhalika. Two questions joined together by the conjunction waw al-'atf. Man hadha, who is this? Wa man dhalika, and who is that? Yani, who is this, the one that is near? Who is that, the one that is far? Okay? Both of them are standing in front of a group of people, but one of them is near and one is far. Okay. Man hadha, who is this one that is near? Wa man dhalika, and who is that one that is far? Hadha, this is mudarrisun. This one that's near, this is mudarrisun, a teacher. Wadhalika, and that one which is far, wadhalika imamun. Imamun. Short vowel, long vowel, tanween. And that is an imam. This is a teacher, and that is an imam. I hope that you are reading along with me and translating as well. Please participate. The next picture is not clear what it is, but it's a big rock or stone. Okay? This picture is related to the second new word from this lesson, Hajarun. Okay? This is the 26th new vocabulary word that we had so far in book 1. We had 24 in lesson 1. We had word number 25, imamun, just now, and now we have word number 26, hajarun, followed by two more words, 27 and 28, and that's the number of vocabulary, new vocabulary words that we will have for lesson 1 and 2, 28 words, okay? Here's word number 26. Ma dhalika, what is that? Dhalika, ha, ja, run. Hajarun, hajarun, dhalika, hajarun, that is, what is that? That is hajarun, a stone, that is a stone, or a big rock. The next picture is the picture of a little bowl or dish that has something in it. It's probably cubes of sugar, and there's a spoon there also, and then the following picture is a glass filled with something, probably some milk, right? This is going to be the third and fourth word for this lesson, 27th, 28th word so far in book 1. Okay, the statement says here, hadha sukkarun. Hadha sukkarun, with shadda on the calf, double the calf, sukkarun. Wadhalika labanun, two short vowels and tanween, labanun. The meaning, hadha sukkarun, this is sukkar, sugar. Wadhalika, and that is labanun, labanun, milk. This is sugar and that is milk. Remember, hadha is used for things near, dhalika is used for things far. Both of them are used for things which are singular, and both of them are used for things which are masculine. Both of them can be used for humans or inanimate things. Okay, after that, the one exercise for this lesson, it says in the middle of the page, tamrinun, tamrinun. Okay, notice that the way it is written, the ta is written on top of the meme. Please pay attention to this way of writing. where the ta and the meem are not clearly distinct from one another. You have to get used to this because sometimes you're going to see words written like this. The ta is written on top of the meem, which is not distinct in this form of writing. Okay? But the word should be read ta fatta, meem with sukoon, tam, and then ra with kasra, ya with sukoon, long vowel, ri, and then noon with tanween, tam, ri, noon. And tamreen means an exercise, yani like a drill, an exercise. The plural of it we will see as we go along. Tamareen means exercises. We'll see that soon. Okay, let's look at this exercise for lesson number 2 at the bottom of page 13. It says, Iqra, with sukoon on the hamza. Iqra. Waktub. Waktub. The waw al-atif is followed by an alif. That alif is hamzatul wasl. Remember we said, hamzatul wasl is the hamza that you only pronounce this vowel if you begin with it. But if there's a word or a letter before it, then it's just used as a connector. So you're going to connect the waw with fatha to what follows the hamzatul wasl, the kaf with sukoon. Iqra waktub. That means iqra from qara'a, to read. Iqra is the command form, the imperative, the fi'l amra. Iqra, read. Wa and waktub, yani from kataba, to write. Uktub means write. But we're not going to pronounce the dhamma here for uktub because it's preceded by a word or a letter. Wow. Okay, so we're going to just join the wa with fatha to the kaf with sukoon and omit the hamzatul wasl, its vowel of dhamma, which we don't see there because it's not pronounced. Iqra waktub. Yani the vowel of hamzatul wasl is not pronounced. Iqra waktub. Read and write. Okay, so this exercise requires you to read it orally as well as translate it, and it requires you to write it out in your notebook. And I advise you, not only the exercises that say you have to write it, but every exercise should be written. This practice of writing will serve you well. By the end of book 1, you'll find that you are able to write with ease. If you don't write out the exercises and the text at the beginning of the lessons, you'll find difficulty, even though you may know the words and you can translate them and you can pronounce them. You won't be able to write them if you don't practice writing. So you have to practice writing, you have to practice reading orally, pronouncing the words, and you also have to practice listening to Arabic. You have to practice listening to Arabic. And this means that you need to listen to the audio files, which I'm going to send you today. Somebody sent me a reminder this evening to send out the link for the audio files for book 1, read by Dr. Abdurrahim, the author of this course. And actually, there are 2 sets of audio files that are available. One of them is Arabic and English, and one of them by Dr. Abdurrahim is only in Arabic. And I recommend that you listen to both of them, but especially the one that's in Arabic, because you want to train your ear to understand Arabic when you hear it. Okay, so somebody please send me a reminder this evening to send out the link for the audio files for book 1. So that you can begin practicing listening. You can do it at any time. And if you're in the house doing some work, you could be washing the dishes or sweeping a floor or just laying down, relaxing at a moment of rest, and listen to those audio files as much as possible. You could be driving your car. I don't know, wherever you are, you might be in a place where people are still allowed to go out of their houses. You could be walking down the block or exercising or jogging or anything, whatever you're doing. And if you're not doing something that requires your mental full attention, you can listen to the audio files as much as possible, and this will benefit you tremendously in training your ear to understand the sounds that you hear in Arabic. Remember that the faculty of the brain that's used for recognition of things that you see is different for the faculty that's used for recognition of things that you hear. So you have to not only practice reading what you see, but you got to practice understanding what you hear. And that, for that reason, we're going to send you the audio files, if somebody reminds me, inshallah, and you're going to start listening to that as well. Okay, the last exercise, again, it says what? Read and write. Okay, there are four sentences here. Some of them are questions, or most of them are questions that are followed by an answer. Okay, we're going to see in this exercise hadha for things near, dhalika for things far, men asking about people, ma asking about things, a the question, hamzatul istifham, that's the answer to which is going to be na'am or la. All of this that we had yani previously in lesson 1, we're going to see again here. In addition to dhalika, hadha and dhalika, ma and men and a, and then we're going to see yani the new vocabulary words that we had for this lesson, sukr, laban, imam, and hajar. In addition to some words that we had previously, like kalbun and so on, and qittun. Okay, let's read the exercise number 1. Hopefully you have practiced reading this already. I'm going to read it slow so that you can read ahead of me. Please, let's read sentence number 1. Hada sukkarun wadhalika labanun. Again, let's read sentence number 1. You read ahead of me, okay? Hada sukkarun wadhalika labanun. Okay, let's translate. Hada sukkarun, this is sukkar, sugar. Wadhalika, and that is laban, milk. Sentence number 2, going across. And also, please, pay attention to the Arabic numerals. We have to learn these numbers as well. If somebody reminds me, I can send you some kind of notes or something that gives you the Arabic numerals so that you can begin to learn the numbers in Arabic, how you write out the numerals in Arabic. Okay? Sentence number 2, going across. Man dhalika. Answer. Dhalika imamun. Man dhalika means who is that? For the answer, dhalika imamun means that is an imam. Sentence number 3, which you have already written and practiced reading for homework. Sentence number 3. Adhalika qit. أذلك قط؟ لا، ذلك كلب. Translation: أذلك قط؟ Is that a قط؟ Is that a cat؟ لا، no. ذلك كلب. That is a kelb, a dog. Number 4, going across. Ma hadha? Answer. Hadha hajarun. Hajarun. Hadha hajarun. Translation. Ma hadha? What is this? Things which are near. Al jawab, the answer. هذا حجر. This is a حجر, a stone. Okay, let's look at the vocabulary for this lesson, which we had in the English key. At the end of each lesson, and sometimes in the middle of the lesson, if it's a long lesson, you'll have a box which says الكلمات الجديدة. This expression, الكلمات Al-jadidatu, you must learn as well. Everything in the lesson, everything on the page is part of yani the lesson. Okay, so you have to learn. Al-kalimat is the plural of kalima. Kalima. Kalima means a word. Al-kalimat means the words. In Arabic, the adjective follows the noun. So al-jadidatu, following al-kalimat, al-jadidatu is a not, a sifa, an adjective describing the kalimat. What kind of words are there? Al-jadidatu. Yani, the new words. Jadid means new. Jadida is the feminine form of new. Al-kalimatu.
Al-Jadidatu, the new words. The first word, read it. Short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Imamun. Imamun means the prayer leader, the one who stands in front. Second word, please read. Short vowel, tanween. Hajarun. Hajarun. Hajarun means a stone or rock. The third word, please pay attention that the second letter, the kaf, has shedd. So it has to be emphasized, doubled. Okay, it should be pronounced short vowel, followed by shedd with another short vowel, and then tanween. That means it's going to be three syllables. Sukkarun. Sukkarun means sugar. And finally, the last word, short vowel, tanween. Labanun. 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 Which, another word for Lebanon that we commonly use is Halibun, meaning milk. Okay, this is the end of lesson 2. Inshallah, I hope everybody found it relatively easy. I don't think there's any difficulty involved in this lesson. There's one grammatical rule, that's the ism ishara dhalika. And there's also waw al-atf, yani the waw that's used to join two things together, the conjunction. There are only four vocabulary words, sukkarun and labanun, imamun and hajarun. One of those words, everybody knows imam. And maybe we know sukkar and laban also. So this lesson should have been relatively easy for us. There's only one exercise, and inshallah everybody has done it for homework. And I hope that you didn't find any difficulty. Alright, after this, we're going to go to the next lesson. The next lesson. Lesson number 3. Okay, lesson number 3 is a longer lesson. And unlike lesson number 2, we're not going to finish it today. It's not a short lesson that we're going to finish in one day. Rather, it's going to take us a few sessions. So, today, inshallah, we're going to look at the English key. And depending on how much time we have, we might look at as well. Well, we're going to look at the English key, including the vocabulary. And then, inshallah, if we have sufficient time, we may also read some of the Arabic texts at the beginning of this lesson. Okay, for homework, yani, for homework, we should have already previewed lesson 3. Yani, on Thursday, in the proposed schedule for this week's homework assignments, we had previewed lesson 3. Study carefully the English key. That's on page 4 and 5. We're going to read that now. And begin memorization of the vocabulary on page 5. And you can see that the vocabulary on page 5 is quite a bit, 26 words. Well, we just got finished learning 24 words and 4. So learning 26 words, we can do it, yani. The important thing is that you have to stay on top of it. Every day, you have to learn at least one or two words. Okay, 26 words for this lesson. Hopefully, we already memorized the vocabulary before. We only had four words from lesson 2, which you should have learned for homework. If you didn't, you could have learned them while we were going over them today. I repeated those words intentionally many times to help you to learn them. And now you should be concentrating on the vocabulary for lesson 3. Okay, there are 24 words. We're going to start with this lesson today. We're going to continue with it next week. And then this lesson is divided into two parts. And then the following week, we're going to take the second part. So that means that we have today, and then we have next week, and then we have the following week. And then you have the week up until lesson 4 to further, yani, work on the vocabulary for lesson 3. So you have plenty of time from now until next week. And then from next week until the following week when we finish this lesson. And then from that week until the following week when we begin lesson 4, you have 3 complete whole weeks to learn the vocabulary words. That's 21 days to learn 26 words. If you learn, yani, one word every day, you'll learn most of them. If you mix it up a little bit, in a couple of days, you learn 2 words, you'll easily memorize all the vocabulary for lesson 3, and learning the vocabulary is extremely important. Okay? So, for homework, we should have previewed lesson 3, the English key on page 4 and 5, which we're going to do now, and begin the memorization of the vocabulary, which, as I said, you're going to have 3 weeks to complete it. You should have started, though. And then, for homework, you should have also read the Arabic text on page 14, at least 2 or 3 times, and written it out. If you didn't read it and you didn't write it,
then inshallah, during the following week, please make sure that you complete that assignment of reading and writing the Arabic text for lesson number 3. Alright, lesson number 3 contains a number of points. The most important of which, I'm going to summarize before I read the English key, the most important of which is the difference between words in Arabic which are definite and indefinite. Words that are definite, yani called ma'rifa, and words which are indefinite, yani referred to as nakira. Ma'rifa means it's definite, and nakira means it's indefinite. How do we determine if a word is definite or indefinite? Well, the common sign of a word being definite is that it has alif lam, and that's what we're going to be looking at in this lesson today, as opposed to a word that is indefinite, which ends with tanween. Generally speaking, words that end with tanween are indefinite. There are some exceptions that we'll be looking at, but generally speaking, when a word has tanween, that means it's indefinite. If it has alif lam, that means that it is definite. Okay, so the definite article in Arabic, and there are words that are definite without alif lam. But if a word has alif lam, that means it's definite. If it has tanween, generally speaking, that means that it's indefinite. Okay, so this is the first thing that we're going to be looking at here in this lesson. The second thing that we're going to be looking at in this lesson, in the second part of the lesson, is the division of the Arabic consonants. Arabic consonants. Remember, we learned in our primer book that there are 29 letters in the Arabic alphabet. 29 letters, including alif. Alif is not a consonant. It is not a consonant. It serves several purposes. It's used as a seat for Hamza, in which case it doesn't count. It's just a seat for Hamza. Hamza is a consonant. It also serves as a vowel of elongation, elongating the fatha vowel, yani, when it's followed by alif. Alif is not a consonant, okay? So I just want to make that clear right now, that there are 28 consonants in the Arabic language, 29 letters. 28 are consonants. That's what we're going to be taking in the second part of this lesson. The difference between the consonants which are known as solar letters or sun letters, al-huruf al-shamsiyya, and those which are known as lunar letters or moon letters, al-huruf al-qamariyya. 14 letters are solar letters and 14 consonants are solar letters and 14 consonants are lunar letters. So they are divided into two groups, solar letters and lunar letters, 14 and 14. In the second part of this lesson, we're going to be dealing with that. And how they work when a word begins with a sun letter and it has alif lam, and if a word begins with a lunar letter and it has alif lam. Okay, with the lunar letters, when a word begins with a lunar letter, we're going to pronounce the L. We're going to say al-qamaru, al-kitabu, al-maktabu. If it begins with a sun letter, we're not going to pronounce the L. Its sound is going to be merged into the sun letter that word begins with, which is going to have a shadda to tell you to double it, and then it's going to be pronounced, for example, instead of al-shams, we're going to say ash-shams. Instead of al-rahman, we're going to say ar-rahman. Instead of al-samad, as in Surah Al-Ikhlas, we're going to say al-samad, and so on. Okay? If we have been reading Quran in Arabic, we've already seen this. We're going to study the rule related to this in this lesson today. The other thing that I want to mention in this lesson is I want to just remind us, especially in this lesson, of what is known as the nominal sentence, al-jumla al-ismiya, the sentence that begins with a noun. We've mentioned this before. I just want to remind us of that once again in this lesson. We're going to be seeing a lot of sentences, nominal sentences that begin with a noun. And I want to remind us that a nominal sentence has two essential components. Yani, the first component is the mubtada, and the second component is the khabar. Mubtada is the subject that you want to talk about, and khabar is the information, what you want to say about it. The information that you want to say about it. Alright, so please keep in mind as we go through these sentences that they are nominal sentences. Mubtada and khabar. Subject and predicate in English. That's what they call it. Subject and predicate. And there are a lot of rules related to this type of sentence. We're not going to go into all those rules now, but I just want you to be aware that these are nominal sentences. Jumla ismiya. They begin with a noun, an ism. And that noun that they begin with is generally known as the yani, or generally begins with the subject, that is the mubtada, and then the second part is going to be the predicate or the khabar. Okay, let's read the English key right now, and then look at the vocabulary, and then let's go to the Arabic text if we still have time at the beginning of this lesson. Okay, English key on page 4 and page 5. English key on page 4 and 5. Actually, the English key also continues on page 6, but page 6 is the translation of the instruction for the exercises of this lesson. And remember, if you get stuck on any instruction, you can always go back to the English key and it will tell you, it will translate for you the basic meaning of the instruction for that lesson. All right. Lesson 3, English key, page 4. The first thing that we're looking at in this lesson is in this lesson we learn the use of the Arabic definite article, al, alif lam, at-ta'rif, yani the alif lam that indicates something being definite, which corresponds to the English T-H-E, the or the. The Arabic definite article L, which corresponds to the English, the or the. When the definite article L is prefixed to a noun, naturally the indefinite article, tanween, is dropped. Yani if a word has tanween, baytun, a house, if you add alif lam, the tanween, the noon of the tanween, the vowel dhamma remains, but the noon sound of the tanween, yani, is removed. Okay, so instead of a double dhamma, now it becomes a single dhamma when it has alif lam, because you can't have a double dhamma tanween or double fatah or double kasra tanween on the same word that has alif lam, because alif lam represents the definite article and tanween represents the indefinite article. You can't have both of them on the same word, the a house. It's either the house or a house. It can't be the a house. All right, so whenever alif lam is used on the word, the tanween has to be removed and it remains with a single vowel, whether it is dhamma, kasra, or fatah. So this is the first thing. When the definite article is prefixed to a noun, naturally the indefinite article, the tanween, is dropped. Tayyib. Second thing we want to say in this lesson, and that's the example they gave us. Baytun, alif lam comes, becomes al baytu without tanween. The second matter is in reference to the 28 consonants of the Arabic alphabet. Arabic has 28 letters, it says here, meaning 28 consonants. There's actually 29 letters because aleph is also a letter of the Arabic alphabet, but it's not a consonant. So Arabic has 28 consonants. Of these 28, 14 are called solar letters, and the other 14 are called lunar letters. Some books they might be called sun letters and moon letters. In the articulation of the solar letters, the tip or the blade of the tongue is involved in pronouncing it, as in T, N, R, and S. Yani ta, noon, ra, and seen. Yani these are letters from the solar letters. Ta, ta, the tip or the blade of the tongue is involved. Noon, na, ra, sa. These are from amongst the 14 solar letters. The solar letters, the tip or the blade of the tongue is involved in its pronunciation. The tip or the blade of the tongue does not play any part in the articulation of the lunar letters, as in B, W, M, and K, etc., yani representing ba, wa, wow, meme, and calf. These letters in Arabic do not involve the tip or blade of the tongue. Ba is from the lips. Wow is also from the lips. Meme is also from the lips. And calf is from the back of the mouth, almost at the end. before the throat. The only thing after it is qaf. These are yani lunar letters or moon letters, and they do not involve the inarticulation, the tip or blade of the tongue. Okay, so this is the second matter that we want to note. The Arabic has 28, Arabic alphabet has 28 consonants. 14 are sun letters, 14 are moon letters. The sun letters involve inarticulation, the tip or blade of the tongue. The moon letters do not involve that. When al, I'm reading from the book, when al, alif lam at-ta'rif, is prefixed to a noun beginning with a solar letter, and again, we're going to deal with this in the second part of this lesson, okay? But in any case, this is part of the lesson. When al is prefixed to a noun beginning with a solar letter, the l sound of al, al, the l sound is assimilated to the solar letter. Yani, it's merged into the solar letter so that the lam is not pronounced, but rather in its place, the sun letter, the solar letter, is going to be doubled so that the lam is going to be pronounced as the sun letter, and then the second sun letter of the shadda is going to be the beginning of that word. For example, al shams, yani shams begins with the letter sheen, and sheen is a sun letter. So when al is added to it, we do not pronounce the al, but rather it's replaced by a sheen. So you have two sheens. The letter sheen in the beginning of the word is going to have a shadda. So instead of one sheen, you're going to have two. One that's originally a part of the word, and the other one is going to replace the L. So instead of saying L Shams, the sun, it is pronounced Ash Shamsu. Ash Shamsu. No change takes place in writing. We still write Aleph Lam in the beginning of the word, but yani, to remind us that the Lam is not going to be pronounced, there's going to be a Shadda on the first letter, the sun letter of that word, in this case, the letter Sheen. So the assimilation is indicated by the shadda on the first letter of the word if it begins with a sun letter. No such assimilation takes place with the lunar letters. For example, al-qamaru, the moon, is pronounced just like that, al-qamaru. So this is the difference between words that begin with a sun letter and a moon letter. If it begins with a sun letter, the lam is not going to be pronounced. It's going to be merged into that sun letter. If it begins with a moon letter, the lam is going to be pronounced normally. Here are some more examples of the assimilation, the merging, the idgham of the lam of the definite article al to the solar letters. How the lam is going to be assimilated so it's not pronounced. So for example, al najmu becomes, yani the l becomes a n, n najmu. Al rajulu becomes, yani the l becomes ra, so it becomes ar rajulu. Al-diku, yani dal is a sun letter, so instead of saying al-diku, it becomes ad-diku, and the same thing with samak. Seen is a sun letter, so you don't say al-samaku, but rather becomes as-samaku. See the table of lunar and solar letters on page 19 of the Arabic book. We're going to go to that probably next week to see which letters are sun letters and which letters are moon letters. These sun letters must be memorized. You must know which letters are sun letters so you know when to apply this rule that the lam is not going to be pronounced. You must memorize the 14 sun letters or the 14 moon letters, either one. If you memorize the 14 sun letters, you know these are the letters that this rule is applied to, the merging of the lam into the sun letter. And every other word that's not one of those sun letters, you know it's going to be read normally. But you have to memorize these sun letters so you know when to apply this rule. Okay, the division of the sun and moon letters is on page 19 of the Arabic book. Okay, the next point we want to note. Note that the A, the vowel sound, fatha, in the definite article, L, is pronounced, that vowel, A, is pronounced only when it is not preceded by another word. Only when the alif lam is not preceded by another word. If it is preceded by a word or even a letter, it is dropped in pronunciation. The vowel is not pronounced, though it remains in writing. Yani the alif of alif lam remains in writing, but its vowel is not going to be pronounced. For example, we say al baytu. Here the A is pronounced al baytu. Here the A is pronounced, but if it is preceded by wa al-atif, meaning end, the A is dropped, and the phrase is pronounced wal baytu, not wa al-baytu. Wal baytu, meaning the alif of the alif lam, which is hamzatul wasl, its vowel is not going to be pronounced, but rather it's going to just be a connector, wasl. It's going to connect or join what's before the alif to what's after it. So wa is before it, and ba is, and lam is after it. So we're going to say, instead of wa al, we're going to just say wal baytu. To indicate this omission in pronunciation, the sign that's here written in the book, it is the head or the beginning part of the letter sad, the letter sad, without the ending part of its loop. Okay, this sign is placed above the hamza, above the alif. This sign is placed above the alif, as in wal baytu. In Arabic, you see here we have waw, and then we have alif lam. Above the alif, we have the head of the sad, telling us that this hamzatul wasl here, because it has something before, is only going to serve as a wasl, a connector, connecting the what is before to what's after it. So the wa is going to be connected to the l, wal, baytu. Then it says here, the initial vowel A, I, or U, whatever vowel might be on that letter for hamzatul wasl, is omitted when preceded by a word. This is called hamzatul wasl, and its vowel is only pronounced. It could be a fatah, kasra, or dhamma. In the definite article al, it's always going to be fatah. But in other words, it could be a kasra, could be a dhamma. It's not going to be pronounced if there's a word or a letter before the hamzatul wasl. Okay, then they give us examples here. Al-babu maftuhun. The door is open. Al-babu maftuhun. Meaning, okay, this word maftu is a new word. Okay, we didn't go over this word yet. Maftu means open. Al-babu, the door is maftuhun, open. The next sentence, al-qalamu maksurun. Al-qalamu maksurun, the pen is broken. This is also a new word for this lesson. Okay, after this, we turn to page 5 of the English key. It says, this is another matter that we have to pay attention to. This is a very important note here. It says, we have learned that the tanween is the indefinite article, and it is to be translated as A. For example, baytun, the tanween, un, means A. Baytun, a house. So this is what we have learned previously, that the tanween is the indefinite article, and it's translated as A, as in baytun, a house, kitabun, a book, rajulun, a man, and so on. This does not apply to adjectives, like maftuhun, open, and maksurun, broken. Okay? The tanween here is not to be translated as A. We don't say, yani al-babu maftuhun, the door is A, open. We just translate it as open. Okay, adjectives that have tanween may be translated without A. Okay, al-qalamu maksurun, the pen is broken. We don't say the pen is A, broken. So when you see adjectives, even though they have tanween, just translate them naturally. Don't put the A where it's not necessary. Tanween is, as we said earlier, is the indefinite article. It's generally translated as A or N, A-N. However, in adjectives, leave out the A. Okay? So please pay attention to this point. Inshallah, I'll try to bring it to our attention as we go along from time to time. Okay, we're almost running out of time here, so let's go through this vocabulary. And again, the vocabulary that we have for this lesson, hopefully you already looked at it. In the homework assignment, yani we mentioned to look at the vocabulary for lesson 3. That would have been part of your Thursday homework assignment. And then you should have previewed the Arabic text on lesson on page 14 as well. We might not look at the Arabic text today because of time. But in any case, we're going to look at the vocabulary right now. Okay, so the vocabulary for lesson 3 on page 5 of the English key. We're going to go from right to left instead of going down, because the first 9 words in the right column are opposites of the first 9 words in the left column. So please, we're going to read across, back and forth on these words so that you can note the correspondence or the relation between each of these sets of words. Okay, so on the right side we have faqirun, poor. And opposite it, going across, we have ghaniyun, rich. Going down we have qasirun, meaning short. And opposite, going across, we have tawilun, meaning tall. Going down, we have harun. Ha, elongated, fatha alif, followed by ra with shadda. Harun, meaning hot. And opposite, going across, we have baridun. Not baridun, baridun, meaning cold. Going down, we have waqifun, waqifun, meaning standing. And the opposite of it, across from it, is jalisun, jalisun, meaning sitting. The next word, qadimun, meaning old. And opposite, we have jadidun, meaning new. The next word, ba'idun, means far away. And opposite it, going across, we have qaribun, meaning near. These are words that we use for the ism ishara. Hadha is for yani qarib, and thalika is for ba'id, near and far. The next word going down, wasikhun, 2 short vowels. Wasikhun, wasikhun, means dirty. And going across, the opposite, nazifun, nazifun. Going down, we have the next word, kabirun, meaning big. And going across, the opposite, saghirun, meaning small. The next word, thaqilun, thaqilun, with qaf, meaning heavy. And going across, the opposite, khafifun, khafifun, meaning light. Okay, so these are 9 words in the right column and 9 words in the left column that are opposite of one another. Learn the opposite words with one another, so you associate them with each other. Faqirun, ghaniyun, qasirun, tawilun, harun, baridun, waqifun, jalisun, qadimun, jadidun, ba'idun, qaribun, wasikhun, nazifun, kabirun, saghirun, thaqilun, khafifun. Okay, the remaining words in the right column, there's al-ma'u, water, going across, al-waraqu, these are not opposites, paper. Jamilun, beautiful, across from it, at-tuffahu, apple. Okay, notice that at-tuffah, the first letter of the actual word after alif lam is a ta. It's a sun letter. So it has a shadda to tell you don't pronounce the lam, but instead of it, pronounce a extra ta. So instead of al tuffah, we say at tuffahu. At tuffahu. There's also a shadda on the fa in this word, followed by a fatha with alif, elongation. At tuffahu means apple. The next word, hulwun, means sweet. And then the next word across from it, addukkanu. Again, addukkan, dukkan, it begins with a sun letter, dal. So the dal has a shadda telling you don't say al dukkan, but rather double the dal, addukkanu. And again, the middle letter, kaf, has a shadda with fatha elongated by alif. So that means the kaf is also going to be doubled. Addukkanu means a shop. Yani a place where somebody has their business, like a store. The last word is Maridun with bad. Maridun means sick or a patient, an ill, sick person. And there's one more word in the space in the right column. There's an empty space there. There should be the word al-qamaru, which is included in the Arabic section of the new words for the first half. In the Arabic section of the new words for the first half, we'll see the word al-qamaru. It was missing here from the English vocabulary list. You can add it under the word hulwun. On the right column, on the bottom, under sweet, put al-qamaru. Qaf, mim, ra. Al-qamaru means the moon. Okay, this word was included in the Arabic section of the new words, first half of this lesson. It was left out here. Okay, this is the end of the English key and the vocabulary. In the few minutes that we have remaining, we're going to look at the Arabic section of this lesson number 3. The Arabic section of lesson number 3 on page 14. The Arabic section is just one page followed by exercises 1, 2, and 3, which we're going to do for homework during next week, and then 16, exercise number 4, we're going to do for homework, and then we're going to look at the new vocabulary words on the bottom of page 16, and then we're going to go into the second part of this lesson, which is on the bottom of page 16, that is the sun letters and the moon letters on 16 and 17, and then exercises on the bottom of page 17 and page 18, and then more vocabulary words for this lesson on the bottom of page 18. After that, on page 19, we have a listing of the sun letters and the moon letters with examples for each letter, and then one more exercise on page 20. Probably what remains of this lesson we're going to do next week and the following week. But inshallah, I'll be sending you some homework assignments for this week. Please stay on top of it. Read the English keys carefully. Make sure you understand the points and go over the vocabulary. Okay, we only have a few minutes remaining. So, let's read the Arabic text for lesson number 3 on page 14. And that's what we're going to end with, okay? Page 14. At the top of the page it says, الدرسو الثالثو. الدرسو الثالثو. Notice that the letter tha is a sun letter, as we're going to be learning in this lesson. So it has to be written with shadda, and it has to be doubled. And we're not going to pronounce the lam in al thalithu. We're going to say f thalithu. Ad-darsu al-thalithu means the third lesson. Now, by now you should have learned ad-darsu al-awwalu, the first lesson. Ad-darsu al-thani, the second lesson. And ad-darsu now al-thalithu, the third lesson. These are numbers that you have to learn. Okay, at the top of the page, after that it says, going from right to left, baytun with tanween, and then al-baytu without tanween, with a single dhamma vowel. Baytun, a house. Al-baytu, the house. Going across, kitabun, and then with tanween, and then al-kitabu without tanween, with a single vowel. Again, kitabun with tanween means a book. Al-kitabu with alif lam means the book or the book. Okay, let's go down to the second line. Qalamun with tanween, and then al-qalamu without tanween, with a single dhamma vowel. Qalamun means a pen. This is the word that we had previously. Al-qalamu means the pen. Okay, all these words, al-bayt, al-kitab, al-qalam, and al-jamal, we had in previous lessons, in lesson number 1. After that, the third line down, opposite the picture of a pen that is split into two parts. It says, al-qalamu maksurun. Please participate and read with me. Al-qalamu maksurun. Al-qalamu means the pen. And maksurun, a new word, it means broken. Remember we said the tanween in adjectives is not translated as a. So we don't say al-qalamu maksurun means the pen is a broken. Rather, the pen is broken. Going down the picture of a door, al-babu مفتوح الباب مفتوح
okay مفتوح means open the door is open not the door is a open the next line
الولد جالس والمدرس واقف الولد the boy جالس is sitting والمدرس
notice we're joining the wa to the l
والمدرس
and the مدرس the teacher is
واقف
واقف standing the boy is sitting and the teacher is standing okay now we have 10 sentences I don't know if we'll read all of them we'll try to I'm not going to go too fast but let's try to focus okay the first sentence الكتاب جديد والقلم قديم
These are new words for this lesson, jadid and qadim, opposites of one another.
Al-kitabu jadidun, the book is jadid, new.
Wal-qalamu qadimun,
and the pen is qadim, old.
Going across, sentence number two.
Al-himaru saghirun,
wal-hisanu kabirun.
Saghir and Kabir are new words, opposites from this lesson.
Al-himaru, the donkey, is saghirun,
small.
Wal-hisanu,
and the horse is kabirun,
big.
Sentence number three, back to the right column.
Al-kursiyu maksurun.
Al-kursiyu
Maksurun.
Al-Kursi, we know, the chair. Maksur is a new word for this lesson. Broken.
The chair is broken.
Going across, number four.
Al-Mindilu Wasikhun.
Al-Mindilu Wasikhun.
Al-Mindil means the handkerchief
or kerchief.
Is Wasikhun.
Is dirty.
This is the opposite of nazifun,
which are both new words for this lesson.
Wasikhun,
dirty.
Nazifun,
clean.
Going down. Sentence number five.
Al-ma'u baridun.
Al-ma'u baridun.
The water is barid.
Cold.
Barid is the opposite of harun.
These are opposites, new words in this lesson.
Baridun, cold.
Harun, hot.
Going across.
Number six.
Al-qamaru jameelun.
Al-qamaru jameelun.
Al-qamar, the moon, is jameelun,
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Number seven.
Next, back to the right column.
Al-baytu qareebun.
Wal-masjidu
ba'idun.
Al-baytu, the house, is
qareebun,
near.
Wal-masjidu,
and the masjid is
ba'idun,
far.
But even though it's far,
every step is recorded as a hasana.
So please don't be discouraged from walking far to the masjid.
Number eight.
Al-hajaru thaqeelun.
Wal-waraqu
khafifun.
Al-hajaru,
we had that in the last lesson.
The stone or the rock
is
thaqeelun.
Heavy.
وَالْوَرَقُ
And the paper,
this is a new word,
وَرَق for this lesson.
وَالْوَرَقُ
خَفِيفٌ
Is light. These are opposites. ثقيلٌ heavy and خفيفٌ light. And likewise, in the sentence number 7, we had opposites. قريبٌ near and بعيدٌ far. Okay, going down column, right column, number 9. اللبنُ حارٌ حارٌ اللبنُ حارٌ. The milk is har, yani hot. The opposite of hot is baridun, baridun. These are new words, opposites for this lesson. Harun and baridun. Al-labanu harun. The milk is hot. Number 10, going across. Al-qamisu nazifun. القميص نظيف. Notice that القميص is with قاف, not كاف, قا, and it's with صاد, not سين, سو. القميص, the shirt is نظيف, clean. And its opposite for this lesson is وسخ. نظيف, clean. وسخ, dirty. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover for today. In the coming week, please review, especially Lesson 3 and what we covered today, the English key and the Arabic text, Lesson 2, and the English key and Arabic text for Lesson 3. Please review what we covered today from Lesson 2 and what we covered of Lesson 3, the English key and the Arabic text on page 14. Likewise, also review lesson 1, the English key and the Arabic text and vocabulary. Yani constantly try to review, take a few minutes every day for review. When you're doing your new work, also go back and review a little bit so that you don't forget the vocabulary words or the grammatical rules or the things that you learned previously. Inshallah, I'll try to send you a suggested schedule for the homework assignments for daily, doing some work every day, at least half an hour. If you can do more, that was even better. Do it in the morning or in the evening, or morning and evening. Break up the time in the way that's easy and good for you. But please, don't let one day go by where you don't review or learn something new or memorize a vocabulary word or review the grammatical rules that you have learned. Practice your reading, practice your writing, and practice listening. Somebody please remind me to send you the link for the audio files. Okay, I hope that everybody is doing well, especially those of you who are learning Arabic for the first time. You just finished the primer, and now you're going into book one. This is a different level of work, but inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you can do it. Again, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in doing the things that are pleasing to Him in the way that He has legislated according to the Sunnah and sincerely for His sake alone. May Allah grant us success during this month of Ramadan. May Allah protect us from the harms that are befalling the earth and grant us patience with whatever befalls us. And putting our trust in Allah alone, having confidence in Him, know for sure that nothing can afflict us except what Allah has decreed for us. So whatever Allah has decreed, we know it's by His permission and by His will. Be patient with whatever Allah has decreed, whether it's that which we like or that which we do not like. And always do whatever we do of good, hoping, anticipating, expecting the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.